Good morning.
Okay. I have concern when the elder comes up to make sure. But welcome. Good to be here with you. Glad you're here as we gather together in the house of the Lord. I've been asked to include in prayers the family of Reverend Larry Ziegler. He has entered in the arms of Jesus this morning. He happens to be the father of Molly Hemingway. So we'll include their family in our prayers today. Also, we are beginning this Lenten season, and so our alleluias will be omitted in our service today. So just as long as Chuck and I can follow the order correctly, follow our lead, and of course there's plenty of other announcements in your bulletin. Let's begin now with our opening hymn.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord,
Let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God, our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
O Lord,
graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we who justly suffer the consequence of our sin may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages according to the commandment of the Lord and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard.
And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. And when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first last. This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten and not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Please be seated. Life is unfair, or at least it seems unfair from our limited point of view. We and those we love, we experience hardships and sickness, death. We observe the health and prosperity of others who we may not think deserve it, and so we draw these conclusions. It's not fair. Good, the bad things of life seem to fall on the just and the unjust alike. And so is God unfair? Let's consider the parable that you heard in today's gospel. Master of a house went out to hire laborers in his vineyard, did this throughout the day, specific times throughout the day, even at the 11th hour, with only one more hour left to work. Then he pays them, each a denarius, the same, starting with the last ones that he hired, the ones who were just there for an hour, the way to those who've been working all day, the heat of the day. They're mad, those who were hired first and endured that and can understand it isn't fair. Jesus even says the last will be first. First, last. So what is Jesus telling us in this parable? He tells the parable in the context of, well, it is about the kingdom of heaven. We want to get that understood. He tells us that, and he's telling it right after this discussion with the rich young man, answering his question about what he must do to have eternal life. And the disciples who are listening to this discussion, they're greatly astonished by Jesus' answer, and they ask Jesus, who then can be saved? Jesus then said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And the parable is part of Jesus' response to Peter. And Peter was saying, see, we've left everything and followed you. What then shall we have? Jesus gave Peter and the disciples assurance that they would inherit eternal life, but also explained that not everyone will inherit eternal life. The parable speaks to this. The vineyard is the Christian church. The marketplace is the world. God leads many into his vineyard, the church, by means of the gospel. Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, has suffered and died for you, that you may have eternal life and inherit the kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom. And he's done this for you out of love for you, and no one can be saved or enter his eternal paradise apart from Jesus. The alternative is that you are damned, lost eternally. God personally calls through Christ, come, here's my kingdom of grace. Here is eternal life. Here is deliverance from evil. Here are forgiveness and peace, and here, heaven is open to you. Come to me and be saved. And Christians are called according to God's purpose. Called and converted, justified, and made children and servants and laborers in his vineyard. In the vineyard, the grapes are pressed into this wine, this joyous wine of the gospel of grace. Jesus Christ. And there is fruitful labor in the church. As Jesus said earlier in Matthew, to those whom he has been revealed, he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Out of faith that God gives us flows good works, and those who enter the church enter into fruitful labor. The work is blessed, and the fruit is eternal. The labor is also in the presence of the Lord, who loves and sustains the laborers. He places his easy yoke and light burden upon them, and they labor together in the vineyard. They learn from Jesus and encourage one another. Together, delighting in his presence, delighting in the law of the Lord, and living in his grace. Those who remain in the marketplace, those who are idle in the marketplace, well, they are those who remain in the world. They're working for things of this world, and whatever treasures are earned or whatever fruit is produced, it's temporary. It will pass away. It won't endure. And some of those, as we hear in the parable, some of those who are in the world are then come in later. They respond to the call of the gospel through Christ. And they also will receive the undeserved reward, eternal life, in God's kingdom. Those who don't respond, who never respond, they will be eternally lost. And there's another group. The group that enters into the vineyard, but they're trying to earn their wages, trying to earn their salvation, comparing themselves to others, grumbling that they're not getting what they deserve. They're the ones that negotiated for their pay, while the others trusted the Lord's word, whatever is right, I'll give you. Those who grumbled and thought they deserved more are those who claim to be Christian but are under the false impression that their salvation is based on what they can do. Rather than accept the wages of the Lord, they want to earn eternal life through their good works. The end, they'll be turned out of the vineyard when the master tells them, take what belongs to you and go. St. Paul, in our epistle lesson today, he warns us to exercise self-control and discipline in order not to be disqualified from the imperishable prize that awaits those who the Lord finds faithful at the end of the day. And he brings to mind this, the Israelites grumbling in the wilderness. We heard some of this in our reading from Exodus. Stop trusting the promises of God. Paul says, God was not pleased with many who appeared to be faithful members of the church, even though they had all been through this together, even all drinking from Christ, the rock. The same remains true today. We don't know from outward observation who is truly in Christ's church and who's not. Certainly not based on church attendance or service in the church. But we have promises from God to assure us that we are in the church. So we hold on to the promises of God. He keeps his promises. Promises you received in baptism, forgiveness of sins. Promise to rescue you from death, deliver you out of the domain of darkness into his kingdom of light. Promise of salvation for all who believe. We receive and hear his promises regularly in his word. We receive his promises when we receive Holy Communion and promises of forgiveness, life, salvation. So we hold on to the promises of our Lord, who is faithful to keep his promises. And so through the word and the Holy Spirit, the Lord upholds us in faith. He has supported us in our weaknesses. He has picked us up when we have fallen. It has brought us back when we have strayed. The cross we carry, the suffering we endure, they help us. They help us to attain the goal, the imperishable prize that awaits us, eternal life in Christ, in his kingdom. There we'll be free of suffering and free of the toils of this age. We gladly accept the wages we receive from our Lord. We receive wages in life, through the many gifts that he daily provides. In other words, it's not just the wages we receive at the end of the day. The Catechism says about the fourth petition, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, well, we know that this means that God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. This daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. Just a short list of the temporal wages that we undeservedly receive from the hand of our gracious Lord. Even with that short petition, we can appreciate how our Lord keeps us properly oriented in this life. Also in the small catechism, under the first article of the Creed, we're reminded that he richly and daily provides us with all we need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. Those are the temporal wages. Let's ponder now the eternal wages. The eternal wages of eternal life and the inheritance of heaven that Jesus freely gives and has given and promised you, and what it cost him. Master of the house, in the parable, of course, is giving freely. In our gospel, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes and to be condemned to death. They would deliver him to the Gentiles, who would mock him, flog and crucify him. Then he would be raised on the third day. The first in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus, became last. He exchanged secure life in heaven for insecure life on earth. Remember, there was no room in the inn. He had nowhere to lay his head, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, we read in Isaiah. Humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even death on the cross, despised, rejected, afflicted by God, numbered with transgressors, made our sin, made our curse for sin on the cross. Jesus was forsaken by God. Jesus, with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, purchased and won you all sins, death, the power of the devil. Because Jesus became last, we who deserve to be last, because of our sins, have now become first in the kingdom of heaven. Elect of God, chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, King, kings and priests unto God. We who are last have become first because he who was first became last. Jesus comes to all of us, first and last, with all his many gifts. We don't have to be the first. We don't have to work the longest. We don't have to be worthy of hiring. God seems unfair. Aren't you glad that he is? Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand for the offertory.
Thank you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For joy at those who enter Christ's salvation from every nation and at all hours of life, that with them we may praise our Master's holy generosity. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. The Church of God, built on Christ and ordered according to his will, that her pastors may know his holy word thoroughly, and her people wait patiently on his heavenly provision. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all Christian homes and for the endurance that comes from the Holy Spirit, and for husbands and wives, parents and children, that they may be disciplined and self-controlled in their duties, run their course in this life, and continue to the end in the holy Christian faith, ready to receive the imperishable wreath of eternal life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nations of the world, that our Almighty God would suppress evil and injustice in every place and establish his peace, so that the poor would be comforted and suffer no lack. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and suffering, especially Vicky, Lynn, Anita, Lois, Lewis, Chuck, Marlis, Tim, Greg, Doris, Matthew, Megan, Mark, Ethel, Bob, Fred, Harold, Joan, Greg, Linda, Jaden, Rick, Thorfinn, Lacey, Marilyn, Marlene, George, Ann, Jeff, and the family of Reverend Larry Ziegler, that our great physician would bring them healing, hope, and peace at the last. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who commune this day, that though we are entitled to nothing and deserve only wrath, we would be bold to ask for everything by grace in Christ, that God would grant us repentant hearts, trusting faith in his promises and unity of confession, and that we would be strengthened through the forgiveness of sins for a life that abandons sin and idleness and lives in joyful service to our neighbors. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we who have come to faith in the later hours of this world may follow the examples of the saints who labored before us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That working in faith and hope through love, we may receive with thanksgiving the generous wage from our gracious Master. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, into your hands we commend all for whom we pray. Grant that we would look to you for every blessing and to your Son for our salvation. Deliver us from all adversity and preserve us in faith until the last. To you alone be all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We continue with the service of sacrament on page 194.
The Lord be with you.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy Lord God of Sabbath.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, our Lamb of God, that take us away your sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, our Lamb of God, that take Thank you.